That's right. It's time for the continuation of the I Love Ann show, and I have one of my favorite guests right here on the air with us. He has two shows on WCRS, Jim Bohannon, from 10 to 1 o'clock in the morning, and then he's on from 6 to 7 in the morning with that America in the Morning. How you doing today, Jim Bohannon?
I'm doing very fine. Thank you, Ann Eller, and we love you, too.
Well, thank you very much. Gracie loves you a lot, too. She liked those kind comments you put on Gracie Gives Back Facebook page.
Oh, yes, indeed. For Gracie, oh, that wild and wacky Weinerhammer. What a wonderful, wonderful dog. I love Gracie.
Well, she'd love to see you sometime, Jim.
Well, we'll make that happen. I'll see to it that happens.
All right. Okay. But, yeah, Gracie has already gotten a lot of blankets out there. She's raised over $210.50 in just 1 week here at Sharp Facets Gallery, so that's pretty awesome.
Well, that's fantastic. It just goes to show you what a wonder dog she really is. I think that's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, anyways, okay, Gracie, you've got all the kudos you're going to get for today.
Maybe we should remind everybody how to help Gracie out.
Yeah, just bring the blankets right here to Sharp Facets, or you can drop them by. We have three new partners, which is just awesome. Northland Cable, Oakbrook Memorial Gardens, Star Fort Golf Club, and Sears. Actually, we've got four new partners, so how about that? Everybody has boxes there and drop-off points for the blankets. You can even put food in there, too. So Gracie Gives Back. Like us on Facebook, and amazing things are happening for the Humane Society right out there. With it being so cold, this certainly has been a blessing to have people be part of it.
Well, indeed.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I was, this is kismet timing. You know, I know you were tearing it up on the airways last night talking about President Obama and immigration. You know, when you got a lot of different points of view last night on to do or not to do, should he not do, but what was it? What did it all boil down to in the end? What did everybody think?
Well, it all boils down to two different approaches about the Constitution. Very frankly, it boils down to whether or not we are to believe what is in the Constitution, or if we are to look at it not as the rule book, but as a list of pleasant suggestions which we can ignore as we choose to. I thought one of the most telling remarks in the president's speech last night was when he said, to those who say I lack the authority, I say to them, pass a bill. No, Mr. President. Your authority has nothing to do with whether Congress passes a bill or whether they pass 20 bills. Your authority, the constitutional scholar that you say you are, exists within Article 2 of the Constitution of the United States. And again, a lot of people either don't understand it or would like the rest of us not to understand it. This has nothing to do with what the president thinks needs to be done. It has to do with what our social compact, our governmental rule book, says he can do. Now, I'll grant you that executive orders have been abused by other presidents, but this one has taken it to a whole new level, and the Supreme Court has got to get involved here. This is not a case of an argument about immigration or even just about illegal immigration. It is about the power of the presidency. And and what we decide here on that will be remembered long after we have forgotten all about whatever it was regarding illegal immigration that had us arguing.
Well, do you think that they are... That Congress is going to react strongly? I understand Boehner has a high power attorney to go, maybe putting that forth. But what do you think they're actually going to do something this time, Jim?
Well, I would hope so. There are various approaches that they can take. Three of them come quickly to mind. One, of course, would be the lawsuit that Speaker Boehner is pursuing, and ultimately this has to be resolved in the courts. It's got to go to the Supreme Court, which should certainly take it in an expedited manner like they've done gay marriage, and then they should issue a definitive ruling. Presidents may rule by edict up to this point and no further. I'll grant you we have a need for some right of the executive to issue orders. There's no question about that, but it's gone way past anything that our founding fathers would ever have tolerated. I'll guarantee you if the founding fathers had known what Barack Obama would do over two centuries later, they might have scrapped the whole notion of a presidency. That's one approach. Another approach is the I word, impeachment. And I'll be honest with you, I think this president has on several occasions pushed the edges of the impeachable offense. However, politically, practically, it's a fool's errand, and it really wouldn't get past the voters who, in many cases, would just look upon it as politics as opposed to the actual governmental sanction that it is. So from a practical point of view, looking ahead to 2016, impeachment is probably not the best course to follow. And that leaves a third course that I think is very open to the Congress. In fact, it's been open to the Congress before the November elections, and that is the Constitution, that pesky document, the Constitution, says all revenue bills have to originate in the House of Representatives. You simply choke off funding. I mean, they could have done that back when they didn't have the Senate, and that is probably the best approach.
Well, Jim, why haven't they done this? I mean, Congress definitely had the ability. Actually, two questions. President Obama certainly had the votes and the ability to do this back when he first got into office. But why didn't Congress, why haven't they done more of this with the power of the purse? All it ever goes to is, oh, it'll be a government shutdown. It can't be that we're just not going to fund part X of what the president wants.
Oh, first of all, it wouldn't be a, quote, government shutdown. In fact, Senator Ted Cruz of Texas has outlined a plan in which you make it abundantly clear that any number of essential functions are, in fact, approved. It would be a very targeted, I mean, the number of appropriations bills that are passed by Congress, they're incredibly, there are dozens and dozens of them. You don't just say, this is the money for the government. No,
sure.
You pass an appropriation for every little teeny part, and it's right within the power of the Congress to pick and choose what it chooses to fund. And that is an entirely discretionary matter on their part. It's spelled out right in the Constitution that they may fund or not fund at their discretion. Now, as far as why the president hasn't done something on this earlier, let's not forget that he started out in 08 with both houses of Congress, and he hasn't done diddly on the subject of immigration. So if it's such an urgent matter, one wonders why he hasn't done this. And a final point, Fox News tallied up 25 separate occasions on which the president has stated that he does not have the authority to do what he just did. 25 times, and suddenly he's decided that he was wrong all those 25 times? Really?
Well, why would one do this? This is what I can't understand. And then, of course, over there on the side pole swirling around there is Gruber talking about the way health care was passed, making looks like liars out of everybody here.
Well, Gruber deserves a medal, really, for his public service, not in promoting Obamacare in the manner he did, but in honestly admitting what was at work. There is a great deal of contempt for the American public among some elements of the left. In fact, some of them, if you tied them down and gave them truth serum, would admit they think it's really a shame that the rest of us have a vote because we just really don't know what's best for the country. Many of them do not wish to be members of Congress or the Senate. They wish to be commissars, and they would like a leader who is Fidel Castro, and we can just get rid of all those people who disagree with them. That's part of the problem here. So there's no question about the fact that there's a certain amount of arrogance at work here. You know, one thing I think that the last election may have done, it may have liberated the president.
Liberated him?
Liberated him, yes, liberated him because now I'm free to do what I really want to do. What are you going to do? Punish me at the polls? Been there, done that. There's nothing more you can do to me. So since there's no more punishment you can inflict after all those Republicans you elected, then I'll just go ahead and do what it is I wanted to do anyway.
You know, Jim, I can remember when President Obama was elected, one of the very first times when I was, not very first times, but I was listening to you on the radio, and you were very open about being positive in giving President Obama a chance.
Open about giving him a chance,
right.
But I had little doubt. I put it this way. I knew that if he did what he said he was going to do, or tried to do what he said he was going to do, that I was going to oppose it. But yes, absolutely, I'm open on day one of a presidency, but I had to see. And in fact, I'll give the president marks for some things that he has not done in the most part. He did not go to the mat for a single-payer health care plan, which he's admitted that he would rather do, which would be even worse than Obamacare. He did not close Gitmo on day one. He did not move all the detainees into civilian courts, and he did get Osama bin Laden. So there are a few things for which I will give him congratulations, but many of them involve not doing what he said he was going to do.
So what do you think the next 2 years are going to be like?
We'll have a brand new form of gridlock. Instead of having Republican ideas passed in the House and killed in the Senate, now Republican ideas will be passed in the House and the Senate, and they'll be killed when the president vetoes them. And again, if anybody out there doesn't like that, I would urge that person to look in the mirror. Did you vote for a Republican for the House and a Democrat for the Senate and a Democrat for the president? Then don't come whining to shows like mine or Ann's about all that gridlock. You created it. Go look in the mirror if you want to cuss at somebody. Make up your minds. You know, I have no problem with people who go to the polls and they vote differently from me because they've thought about the issues and they simply have a different philosophical approach. So be it. But I'm just tired of people who don't agree with themselves. Read a newspaper. Make up your blinking minds, for Pete's sake. We're in this gridlock because of people out there who, frankly, are pretty lousy citizens. Make up your minds. Even if it's against me, at least you'll be doing your civic duty. That's what I have a real problem with, is people who, oh, well, I'm going to vote for him because he's handsome, or I don't like that candidate because he looked like my deadbeat brother-in-law. Please, this is not voting on Dancing with the Stars. This is voting for the leadership of the free world. Pay attention. That's my message to voters.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more as far as that issue. But I don't know how we get the general public to do this, Jim. I mean, you know, you can talk to your blue in the face and people still don't pay attention to the issues. We still have more interest in our Hollywood stars or, you know, or the bad things that people are doing to each other out there on social media than what is happening in our government.
Well, you'll never solve the problem completely. Very frankly, it's not as though our ancestors were that much more civic-minded. Let's not forget when all those people sat around for hours listening to Stephen Douglas and Abraham Lincoln debate back in Illinois in 1858. It wasn't because they were all so terribly civic-minded. There were two reasons. One, they didn't have cable back then. And two, they didn't have the internet back then. And three, they served liquor at those gatherings.
Okay.
So that there has always been difficulty in getting people to be interested in public affairs. That I would grant you. A major problem is what we teach our kids. We teach them that the country is, in many cases, in many school systems, many teachers, not all, but many, teach us that the country is bad, the government is bad, the electoral process is bad. You have so much advocacy taking place in our schools. That, frankly, maybe the biggest problem we face in this country is seizing control of our schools again. If you look at some of the riffraff, like Ward Churchill and others who are allowed to teach our kids, that is where we've got to draw the line and retake control of our educational process. That's a big reason why we have such cynicism and ignorance at the level of the electorate.
Well, that's a problem that, you know, each state is responsible for.
Well, even local school boards. I mean, what's the turnout for a school board election? What, 15%? 25% if there's a juicy scandal involved? I mean, all the people who refuse to vote in school board elections, come on. I mean, no country in the world has a more decentralized educational system than we do. And you can make a difference there. A huge difference, and people don't bother to go to the polls or even learn what the candidates stand for.
Yeah, you are absolutely right on that. And you know, on WCRS, that's on Meet Me at the Diner. We'll give any candidate that is running for office that hour to sit down and talk with us. And I've learned some amazing things sitting down and talking to a candidate for an hour rather than a 30-second or 2-minute soundbite.
Oh yeah.
And that
Absolutely.
Makes a difference. So, you know, all those scandals that we had last year, you know, you were going to start the Bureau of Scandals, I think.
Yeah.
What's happened to them, Jim? They've all dropped out. Do you realize we just don't pay attention to all the things that we had going from the past? Did they just drop out?
Well, we've been blessed, I guess, with a...
short-term memory?
Well, yeah, short-term memory. That's part of it. I mean, they're still there. I mean, we still haven't resolved Fast and Furious. We still haven't resolved Benghazi. Lois Lerner still isn't cooling her butt in a jail cell for deliberately targeting conservative groups and using the power of the Internal Revenue Service. All those scandals are still out there unresolved. I'm hopeful that people such as Trey Gowdy will get to the bottom of a few of these now that the Congress, both houses, are in the hands of the Republicans. So these scandals have not gone away. But we do have a short attention span. That's unfortunately true.
That's right. And I just, you just think back and you go, well, where is this one at and where is that one at? I know I talked to Trey Gowdy and he said, Ann, they haven't gone away. We're just in meetings and discovering. But I certainly hope that in this next year that we start peeling back some layers so we can actually find out what's going on. And I also heard on the news this morning there, Jim, that up there in Washington, $100 bills are appearing on cars. Have you heard about this?
$100 bills on cars.
On the windshield.
I must confess, not my car. What neighborhoods? I need to park elsewhere. Where are these $100 bills appearing and why?
Well, they're carjacking cars. They put a $100 bill on the windshield. You get in your car, you've unlocked it. You get back out to see, oh, there's a $100 bill on my car, and then they're carjacking the car.
I don't understand. Why don't you just carjack the car? What does the $100 bill have to do with anything?
I guess because the car's unlocked and it makes it that much easier to take the car. You probably already got your keys in the ignition. I don't know. I just heard this morning.
If I knew that's what it meant and I saw the $100 bill, I wouldn't get in my car. I'd run for the nearest cop or hop on my cell phone. I mean, that's just odd, you know.
That is very...
If you're going to carjack, just carjack, and hopefully you'll get killed in the process, and we won't let some lawyer let you off.
Well, one of the things that I was thinking, see, you got to look at the car that you're sitting in, Jim. I'm sitting in a dilapidated old Volkswagen. There's a $100 bill on it. This one could be because they feel sorry for me, right?
That you could possibly be, although in this day and age, I don't think anybody feels quite that charitable. But yes, in that case, that would be the case.
But if I'm driving
I'm
a brand
sure that
new...
I'm going to be carjacked anytime soon either.
Yeah, but if I'm driving a brand new something or other, and I'd have to think twice about it. But yeah, just be forewarned. Washington, D.C., that's what they said was happening on the news this morning.
Most interesting. Well, I have to look up the $100 bills.
$100 bill, that's right. I don't know. It's probably not even a real $100 bill, just to top that off.
Hmm. As I say, why put a note that people quickly can decipher on your car, which says, you're about to be carjacked? Why would you warn people? The whole secret to carjacking is to catch people unawares. I mean, if I see a $100 bill on my windshield, I'm just going to keep on walking while reaching for that cell phone. I mean, that's just odd. There's got to be more to this story than meets the eye.
Well, that was the headline here this morning. Maybe you can investigate it and bring it to us on your show right here on WCRS. I'll be listening tonight, Jim, see if you find out more details on this show.
Well, I certainly will. We'll have to approach this. Tonight we're going to be talking a bit about Ferguson, Missouri, and whether the grand jury chooses to indict that police officer for shooting Michael Brown, and a host of other issues as well. So we hope everybody will tune in tonight and give me a call starting at 10 p.m. right here on the Voice of Greenwood, WCRS 1450 AM.
What do you think's going to happen there, Jim? What's your gut feeling?
Well, there'll be demonstrations either way because the professional demonstrators make a killing doing that and getting all kinds of publicity. So there'll be nasty crowds, certainly, if he's not indicted. If there isn't a lynch mob available, there will be very shortly. If he is indicted, then there'll be more people in the streets, and it'll at least be probably less violent. But I wouldn't be in Ferguson. I'll tell you, if I lived there or had a business there, number one, I'd get out. But certainly, I would board up with every security device I could find, and I would move my family out. I would take a vacation somewhere and probably spend the time looking for a place to relocate in its entirety. I used to live in Ferguson, Missouri.
Did you?
A long, long time ago. In fact, 49 years ago. It was a much different town then. But it's right by the airport, Lambert Field. In fact, I was thought that some of the jets coming in and taking off were going to leave skid marks on the roof. But in any event, I don't think that's going to be pleasant. I don't think that's going to be pleasant at all.
Do you think they're going to indict him?
Based on what I've seen, I don't think they have a basis to indict him. And of course, I haven't seen everything the grand jury has seen.
Sure.
But those close-up gunpowder residues on Michael Brown's hands, he reached inside the car. We already know he's a felon, for Pete's sake. He was guilty of strong-arm robbery of a store. In fact, if that store owner had just shot him dead on the spot, justice would have been served, and this whole story would never have occurred. I mean, this Michael Brown was a low-life piece of crap, punk scum. And certainly, we know that he was the kind of person who was going to wind up in a violent altercation. If a police officer didn't kill him, then a gang member was going to kill him. The world is a much better place that he is dead, 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 but unfortunately, he's taking a lot of other people with him. So I don't see the basis. Like I said, I haven't seen everything the grand jury has seen, but from what the public has seen, I fail to see a basis for indicting a police officer.
Yeah. You know, it just seems to me, Jim, I don't know, maybe it's the news, but it just seems our country is becoming a lot more violent, whether it's the policeman there in New York, the police that were the guy with the machete that killed the police and this type of thing. What is happening? Why are we losing our moral fiber here?
Well, part of the problem, of course, is that every incident is magnified and played over and over again on cable news and talked about on talk radio and mentioned on the Internet. So that's part of the problem. In days gone by when somebody went crazy, most of the country never knew about it. That's part of it, but that's not all of it. There is this vast feeling of entitlement to everything now. I'm entitled to money. I'm entitled to self-esteem. I'm entitled. I'm entitled. I'm entitled. And you take people like that who don't prepare themselves for life and who therefore almost inevitably don't live up to their own unreal expectations, they get frustrated, and then they hear about incidents like Columbine and these other cases, and for some reason, some people out there have a desire to be famous for any reason whatsoever, even if it means being a lowlife and being dead. Hey, at least I'm famous. You add all those elements together, and you have where we are today. And yes, there are an awful lot of people out there who are parents only in the biological function of bringing sperm and eggs to the table. There are parents out there who should never, ever reproduce, and that adds to the problem.
Yeah. Well, what's your Thanksgiving wish for everybody out there? We got Thanksgiving next Thursday, a week from yesterday.
Well, absolutely, and then my wish certainly is that everyone, in fact, have a happy Thanksgiving, that we have things to be happy for, that that all of us do our part and frankly, start fulfilling our responsibility to make this a happier period. If we, in fact, turn the country around a little bit and move this in that direction, then that would be cause for the happiest Thanksgiving in many years.
Do you think that we will see good things out of Congress next year? I mean, we got immigration all tore up, but other things now.
Oh, well, certainly Congress will pass a ton of stuff. I mean, goodness knows. Congress will pass all kinds of things, whether the president goes along. Tax reform, I guess, theoretically, could be a basis for some kind of agreement. But there'll be a host of issues that this Congress will pass. Look at all the stuff that the last House passed, and then now you'll see it passed by the Senate. How much of that will become law? Well, not much until such time as the public decides they're going to elect a president who agrees with their choice for Congress and the Senate. There's a lot to be said, very frankly, Ann, for the parliamentary system. The winner wins. The winner gets to rule. And if they mess it up, then they get thrown out. But they don't have gridlock.
Well, I guess that'll have to be a discussion for another day. Jim Bohannon, it is always such a pleasure to have you on my show. I sincerely appreciate it. I hope you and Annabelle and your family have a terrific Thanksgiving.
Well, and the very same to you, Ann Eller, and best to all your listeners here at 1450 WCRS.
Have a good one, Jim. Thanks so much for calling.
You bet.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye now.